Confessions of a Small Town Florist, written and narrated by Aubrey Mathis. Hey y'all, I am Aubrey Mathis. I am married to a real life rodeo cowboy, and I can't even ride a horse. I like to describe our marriage as John Wayne and Audrey Hepburn fall in love and do life together. I enjoy writing about small town life, love, and scandal. I love combining light and dark moods together along with some wit and sarcasm, and describing characters are my favorite thing about writing. I am not a professional narrator or actress, so please keep that in mind while listening to Confessions of a Small Town Florist podcast. If you would like to hear the characters in your own voice, head over to Amazon where you can purchase the book. The link will be in the show notes. And also, if you want to know a little bit more about me and my so-called country life, you can follow me on Instagram at instagram.com/TheAubreyMathis. That's where I'll show you behind the scenes of all things Audrey and John. I hope you enjoy listening to the podcast, and I hope you guys have a happy day. Confessions of a Small Town Florist, written and narrated by Aubrey Mathis. Chapter 1. I turned the key in that door on that Monday morning with all the optimism the world had to offer. As I walked into the 100-year-old building, a shiver went down my spine. Was it the excitement of this venture or a sign of things to come? "Hello, Susanna's Flower Shop. How can I help you?" I said with all the enthusiasm of a child getting ready to tell Santa their Christmas wish list. My first call as a business owner. "Who is this? Where's Judith?" said the caller in a not-so-happy-to-hear-me voice. "This is Susanna. I am the new owner of the flower shop. Judith is no longer in business. Is there anything I can help you with today?" I replied, determined to win her love and affection. "Well, I doubt it. Judith is my very good friend, and I knew it, my exact order." "Will you talk to her? Tell her Mary Edith called." And with an aggravated sigh, she slammed the phone down. Wow. Well, that sucked. My first call, and I did not get an order. Here I sit, all alone in a new town. A small town. With a cooler full of the prettiest blooms you can imagine. Their fragrance is filling this old building. And the first call I get is for the former owner? What in the hell have I done? "I cannot live like this anymore, Ethan. I expect to be treated with respect and dignity, and not like some dog you found in the street who is just happy he's not standing in the rain. This immature crap that goes on every single night with you has to end, or I'm out of here. And this time, I am dead serious." "Yeah, right, Susanna. You're a lifelong quitter. What the hell do you have and where could you possibly go to make it without me? I'm your everything, baby doll. Now get that fine little booty into the kitchen and get me a beer. Oh, and honey, do not die on your way there with all that seriousness you got going on." As I lay awake in bed that night, sick of myself and the life I was living, I knew I could not continue this fake love. Restless with uncertainty, I got up, got on the computer, and Googled. The words typed themselves out. How to leave a horrible relationship. Page after page of hotline numbers and self-help gurus popped up. This isn't it, I thought. I know how to leave. Just get in my car and leave. I need to know where to go. The Google bar read, "Where to live that is peaceful, friendly, and easygoing." Right underneath was an advertisement, "Flower shop for sale in the most peaceful, easygoing, friendliest town of the whole U.S. of A." is this a joke? Like, if I click on it, a naked lady will pop up and my computer will crash, I thought to myself. Something inside me said to do it, see what it was, and get the hell out of here. So I took the bait, and there it was, a picture of a town that time had forgotten. The old buildings were still standing erect, but how was the big question? Florist retiring after 40 years in the business, building and all supplies for sale. 900 square feet of historic brick walls, metal tiled ceilings, and the oldest chandelier in the county hangs in the building on the main street in Cartman, Texas. Oldest chandelier in the county? Well, then why not? That next morning, almost gleefully, I got up and called the realtor for the flower shop. Cartman Realty, this is Annie. Hi, Annie. My name is Susanna Hightower, and I'm interested in the flower shop you have listed for sale. Mm-hmm, yeah, so what you want to know, hun? Well, I guess how much is the asking price? It's $25,000, hun, and that includes the building and the floor supplies. Miss Judith is a dear, sweet friend of mine, so I'm not charging a commission. Her husband recently passed, and she's ready to retire. This town won't be the same without her, says Annie mournfully. Geez, lady, what a way to try and make a sale. Ever heard of Tony Robbins? Maybe you need some business mastery classes. As Annie gets her wits back, she says, well, hun, you interested? Yes, ma'am. I think I might be. Do you have any video of the building? And can you send me the P&Ls for the past 5 years? No, no video. And I'm pretty doubtful Judith has anything like that for records. This isn't a fancy uptown flower shop, hun. This is a small town business. People don't get into all that big business number stuff like that down here. The only reason this listing is even on that World Wide Web thing is because my nephew is training under me to get his real estate license. And he wants to get famous and have the world see his picture on the internet. I can get Judith just to write something up and call you back with it. Call me back with it. Hey, lady, why don't you just strap it to a pigeon and send it that way? How about an email? Okay, great. I look forward to that call, Annie. I will also be looking for a place to rent since I'm not from the area. I don't need anything big, just a bed and a bathroom. Something affordable but clean. Do you have any listings I can look at? Yeah, I can find something, replied Annie. I'll holler back at you in a day or so. Well, I'll be listening for that holler. Thank you. Have a nice day. Click. Oh, Susanna, oh, won't you bring to me a cold beer and a koozie and a whiskey just for me? Ethan sang as he walked in the door. Looking at him, you would see the typical handsome professional man. A man of prestige who carries in a briefcase and works on Wall Street. But the wolf of Wall Street isn't a wolf at all. No, he's a sheep, a coward in wolf's clothing. He's a tiny fragment of a man on the inside, but on the outside, he has a massive voice. It was his suit and his long line of bullcrap that swayed my heart to move from my loft above the Japanese food restaurant, where I was also working my way up to manager, and into his cold, marbled, black-and-white condo. This sheep in wolf's clothing had taken away my pride, little by little, moment by moment, till that night he came in demanding his beer and whiskey. Beer and whiskey? What kind of refined man drinks beer and whiskey every single night? And what kind of man sits and yells obscenities at the woman he's supposed to love? Not a man at all. After 3 years of hearing him sing that stupid song he thought was so hilarious, I'd had enough. I called the bank the next day, even before Annie called me back with the profit and losses, and wired the $25,000 to Judith Markley, signed the deed to the 100-year-old building, and Googled how to be a florist. Ethan, I told you I was dead serious. I'm leaving. I bought a business in Texas, and tomorrow I'm flying out to start a new life. I really, really hope you get the help you need. He laughed so hard he spilled his whiskey. You bought a business in Texas. And you are leaving me tomorrow. Yes, that is what I said. Oh, Susanna, sweetie, you will never survive. It's you that needs help. My advice is that you watch your back for knives because you have no idea who will stab you. You trust too many people, and you do not have what it takes to be a business person. Good night, Susanna. Or should I say goodbye, oh Susanna? From New York to Texas, this was it. My new life, my new career, my new peaceful, relaxed, friendly living old town. As I got my luggage and looked out for the baby blue four-door sedan Annie told me she would be in, I started to tear up and second-guess my decision. I was a lifelong quitter. Ethan was right. I didn't finish college. I had quit more jobs in 1 year than most people their whole life. In fact, the only consistent thing I ever did was stay in a relationship with Ethan. Stop, I screamed at myself. You can and you will do this. This is your time to make a life for yourself, to chase your dreams, open your business, and find the love you deserve, Susanna. Just as I had drifted off into picking out curtains for my kitchen in a house I did not have and cooked supper for a husband I had yet to meet, I was startled by my own name. Susanna! Susanna Hightower from New York! The familiar raspy voice said. I now recognized the voice and finally had a face to match it to. Annie Dietz was exactly who I thought she'd be. We'd had yet to meet face-to-face after our first call, and things had progressively moved fast. I had the cash to pay for the flower shop from a small inheritance my grandmother had left me when she passed away a year before. My grandmother's only stipulation, Susanna, she said before she died, use this to fund your dreams, no matter how big or small. My only regret is that I never chased my dreams. Life will happen, and in a blink, your opportunities will be over. Please don't buy a silly car or a fancy trip. And please, Susanna, do not spend this on a man. I knew I was doing the right thing as I held out my hand to formally introduce myself to the town realtor. Hi, Annie. I'm Susanna Hightower. Thank you so much for picking me up from the airport. I hope it wasn't too much of a hassle. Oh, what is my day if I don't have to tend to a little hassle? I'm used to it, she replied. One thing was for sure, you never had to wonder what Annie Dietz was thinking. As I got into the four-door baby blue sedan, I could taste the smell of cigarettes mixed with the sweet, sweet aroma of Vanilla Fields perfume. Dear sweet Jesus, how long can I hold my breath, I thought. So, Annie, tell me, have you lived in Cartman long? All my living days, I was born in the same house I live in now. My granddaddy was Bill Cartman. He was the first mayor of the town. It was known as Beatlesville before it was renamed after he passed. He formed the first city council and incorporated the town. Since then, we've grown some, but for the most part, we've stayed the same. Not too many changes, not too many newcomers. People come, then they leave. But I'm sure you'll do okay. Judith grew a fine business with her flower shop. Yes, she is going to be missed, that's for certain. As Annie snapped back from her mourning over the loss of Judith's flower shop, she said, "What about you, Susanna? This seems like a big leap you are taking. I mean, do you have experience in the flower business? How long have you been a florist?" Oh, I laughed, I replied. "I actually do not have experience in the flower shop business, but I do have some manager experience, and I'm hoping to hire a florist and just run the business side of the flower shop." Annie looked at me as if What I had just said was a confession to murder. I smiled, waiting for a response. She chuckled, rolled her eyes, and lit a cigarette. Through the cigarette in her teeth, she said, "Susanna, let me give it to you straight. I probably should have talked you out of purchasing the flower shop, but since I wanted to help Judith get out from under it as soon as possible, I had to look out for my friend first. Cartman is an old, set-in-their-way kind of town. When I told you it hasn't changed much, it's not because we haven't had young folks like you come in with a dream and a prayer of flipping the town. It's because we don't want change, and we make sure it doesn't happen." "So before you hire," she says with air quotes, "yourself a florist, you need to see how long you stay in business. And that's my advice to you from one business owner to the next." I felt as though the wind had just been knocked out of me. I tried to inhale, but the cigarette smoke from Annie's exhaling went down my windpipe. And dear sweet Lord, I was choking, coughing up a lung. This was it. I was going to die. I was going to die in a town where no one liked me, though they hadn't even met me, in a four-door baby blue sedan, choking on Vanilla Fields perfume and cigarette smoke from a lady who sold me a business who just confessed she shouldn't have sold it to me because of the townspeople, who evidently went after newcomers like they were ogres that needed to be run out of town. What have I done? I asked myself for the second time that day. I hope you've enjoyed this week's episode of Confessions of a Small Town Florist. And if you can't wait to find out what happens with Susanna Hightower in Cartman, Texas, then head over to Amazon where it's available in paperback, Kindle, and with Kindle Unlimited. Or click the link in the show notes. Have a happy day, and we'll see you next week.